The FT.
Tuesday's Israeli general election proved to be a much closer contest between the parties of the left and right than many had expected. Earlier, I spoke to John Reed, the FT's correspondent in Jerusalem, and asked him who were the big winners and losers.
I think the biggest winner by far is Yair Lapid's Yesh Atid, which is a new centrist party, which was formed last year by this popular television presenter and came out of nowhere, essentially, to gain second place in the Knesset with 19 seats. In terms of losers, oddly, I think you could say that Mr. Netanyahu's Likud Beitenu is a loser in that he called this election early, hoping to get a stronger mandate for the right wing, and in fact lost a quarter of his seats.
What about the other right-wing parties? Because it was expected that they would do rather well in these elections, and yet they seem to have disappointed.
Yeah, they didn't do terrifically well. Jewish Home, which is Naftali Bennett's party, because of its extremist views, was sort of a natural focus of attention during the campaign. His MP candidate said various controversial things and got a lot of press. In fact, the party did not do as well in the polls as it had been projected to, and is tied for fourth place with Shas, which is the Orthodox religious party, which is in the current coalition with Likud.
So most people seem to have underestimated Yesh Atid. Why do you think that was, and what do you think is the party's appeal to voters?
I think that's a really good question. Everyone did neglect it. I think people underestimated their support. Certainly the opinion polls did. The appeal is, I think, to Israel's great neglected silent majority of middle-class people who care more about economic issues, the price of housing, the cost of bread, than they do about the conflict with the Palestinians or the nuclear showdown with Iran.
So you draw the conclusion that it's the economy that was the main reason why people voted for him.
Yes, I think voters were indeed telling Netanyahu that they care more about bread and butter issues than they do about security ones. It's worth noting in the closing days of the campaign, Mr. Netanyahu appointed Moshe Kahlon, one of his most popular ministers, to a key appointment in housing. I think they were already hearing from the field that Israeli voters cared about cost of living and economic issues a lot more than they were giving credence to in their campaign.
So where does this big change leave Benjamin Netanyahu and his chances of forming a coalition government?
It definitely leaves him in a weaker position because the Knesset is now split perfectly evenly down the middle. As of today's count, it could change, you know, one vote in either direction. But it's 60-60, meaning that if he sticks just to right-wing partners, his natural partners, as he calls them, he's only, you know, he doesn't have a majority. He's got only half of the House. So I think it's clear he's going to have to turn to Mr. Lapid's party very early, if not first. I think it's going to be very torturous. I think he'll also want to bring Jewish Home in, you know, as another new party that struck a chord among Israeli voters. But I think they'll be uneasy partners because of their religious nature with a more secular Yesh Atid. I think it's going to be a matter of many weeks rather than days before a stable coalition is formed.
Do you see a decline in the influence of the ultra-Orthodox parties?
I don't think that's accurate. I mean, Shas saw some decline in their votes. I don't think it was big enough that you could say it's really a pulling away from them. What's interesting is the extent to which the privileges that also religious communities enjoy in Israel became a campaigning point in this election. Mr. Lapid's party was talking about making the Haredim or Orthodox do compulsory national service like the rest of Israelis do. I think there's a lot of resentment among middle-class Israelis about these communities' privileges. The actual poll numbers, if you take into account that perhaps some of Shas's supporters went away to Jewish Home, I think net support for religious parties is about the same or, in fact, higher.
And what about the issue that a lot of other people are concerned about, the prospects of peace with the Palestinians?
I think it's the million-dollar question after this election, but I would venture to say it's way too early to say anything meaningful about that. Mr. Lapid's statements on the topic have been pretty vague. He says he supports a two-state solution that would see an independent Palestine, but has not said much more than this, much less how you would get to a solution to this very complicated problem. We also don't know what the makeup of the coalition is going to be. So we don't know whether Mr. Bennett's party, which is rejectionist in terms of peace with the Palestinians, is going to be in it or not, how you square that particular circle. So I think it's way too early to answer that question.
It's going to take some weeks, presumably, for Benjamin Netanyahu to put his coalition together. But once that is done, what are the main challenges that he's going to face?
I think without doubt, the biggest single challenge will be on the economy. Remember that these elections were called because Netanyahu's government was unable to pass a budget. They now have, once they form a new government, 2 months to draft a new one and get it passed. And if they fail to do that, new elections will have to be called within 90 days. This is going to be even harder than it sounds, given the country's growing deficit worth about $10 billion and rising. And the fact that Likud and Yesh Atid and all the other parties made various promises on spending and to ease the burden of the middle class and so on, that are going to be very hard to fulfill in practice.
That was John Reed, the FT's correspondent in Jerusalem.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.